with Deborah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Join us Sundays.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdrastuytse. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Monday morning mindfulness edition on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And you are in for a treat if you have been a part of the audience in the launching of the movie Woman King. This is a film that says a lot and definitely gives viewers a look at something that may, in fact, challenge our perceptions about femininity. What does it mean to be a woman king? Well, we'll be right back with a few messages and more on Monday Morning Mindfulness. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for our host, Zelda Speaks, and we'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Are back. You are listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And if you have seen the movie Woman King, you have seen an epic picture that many have already said is a cinematic success in terms of its imagery, its power, its story, and it's based on real history. Moviegoers know that Viola Davis, who is a phenomenal actress, is someone who can carry a film, and she is one who brings intensity to a story. But the title, the image, Woman King. Now, this opens up the door to a lot of stereotypes about the strong, maybe even emasculating black female. But when it comes to the history of strength and our well-known strength, is it a positive image that we want to encourage for our daughters who may have often felt disempowered? Well, we'll talk about that a little later. And we want to share with you a bit and, of course, do our Monday morning mindfulness meditation and invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll certainly add you to the conversation. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for our host, Zelda Speaks, and she, of course, is returning from the homegoing celebration of a dear friend who made her transition this weekend. And we extend our words of comfort to the family and those who loved Deborah Smith, not our Deborah Smith, but a lifelong friend, Deborah, of our host. And definitely we understand the process of letting go when a loved one transitions. So we take a look at a film that promises to change a lot of minds when it comes to the history of those who were enslaved, not being weak people, but in fact having powerful armies, so that we understand that power and strength is part of our legacy, our heritage, and part of the history that we want to share with our children who may have grown up with images of weak, docile people who let themselves be enslaved. And when we know that this is not, in fact, what happened, when we know that we are descending from people who did, in fact, have powerful armies that defended themselves against attempted colonialism, and a woman who went down in history, so powerful that she was called a king and made her enemies respect her strength. This is a story that is most definitely powerful and impactful, and it could be inspiring for many young girls who may have had negative self-images about their physical appearance, if they were dark-skinned, about their aggressive nature, if they were called unfeminine. But there are many things that we want to take a look at with this film, Woman King. Because some men, and I'll share with you some of the comments from Facebook before we get into our Monday morning meditation. Some of the comments from Facebook, which give the impression that this film perhaps is emasculating to black men, or may even hint that black men were not strong warriors at that time. And being a warrior is considered a desirable thing if you are being invaded. So to have your kingdom overrun is a sign of lacking masculinity and might be a source of shame if that were the perceived image that comes with the idea of enslavement. The question is often answered, well, what were you all doing while they were coming after you? Didn't you fight back? And so seeing power and strength and fighting back, that makes people feel better. Just as we saw the epic series Shaka Zulu, very powerful image of a king that created a kingdom in the midst of the attempts of British colonialism, definitely not a man to be subdued, and ultimately toppled because of the infighting within the kingdom, which is in itself a lesson for us to consider. So we want to think about what it is that we hope to get from this film. What do we hope to teach? What do we hope to inspire from this movie? What do we hope will come about as a result of the introspection and reflection? Just like there were many groups that came to see Wakanda and talked about the mental and emotional and psychological impact of seeing an advanced African kingdom. And what that did for the children, what it did for the adults who needed something that was positive in showing the image of Africa. So how are we going to view the impact of this film? And how will it impact our impression? Of our history of fighting back in the face of colonialism. We do want to know that there were powerful armies that did have the ability to defend their kingdoms. And we do want to know the personalities involved. So if you were able to see this film, we want you to give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host, myself, Naima, filling in for Zelda Speaks this morning. And we will talk further. But now we want to go into our Monday morning mindfulness meditation. We spoke about meditation on our 5:55 message this morning. Meditation is a process of quieting the mind. So you want to quiet your mind and get into a mode of receiving inspiration. Each breath gives you an opportunity to receive from the universe the inspiration. That's why it's called inspire as opposed to expire. So you inhale and quiet your mind. When you inhale, you are inhaling the breath of life. So we want you to relax, and I'll put on my relaxation voice to guide us through this meditation. So first, close your eyes. Close your eyes so that all that you see is the darkness of the inside of your eyelids. It's just being in a dark room. We want you to relax each part of your body, starting with your forehead. Relax your forehead. Sometimes we knit our brows together and wrinkle our forehead when we're in deep thought. Relax your forehead. Relax your cheeks. Sometimes we clench our teeth unknowingly, and it creates a tension in the face. We want you to relax your jaws. Relax your jaws so that you may let your mouth just hang naturally. And it's okay if your lips are parted a little bit. You want your jaws to be relaxed. Relax your neck muscles. Sometimes we're straining. If you're sitting in an awkward position, you're straining forward or leaning back in a way that is imbalanced. We want you to be sitting up straight where your neck is not under any pressure to hold your head up against gravity. So you want to sit up straight in your chair so that your head is supported by your neck in a natural way. And your neck does not have to work harder to support your head. And then relax your shoulders. You don't want to have your shoulders slumped forward because that also, working against gravity, pulling your shoulders down. This is how people get a hump in their back. We want you to be able to relax your shoulders. And then relax your chest. Relax. Is your stomach tense? Relax your stomach. Relax your stomach muscles if you feel yourself tensing up. And if you have something in your mind that you're anxious about, it will create tension in the stomach. So consciously let go of any thought you have. Is it a bill that's due today and you don't quite have the money in the bank? Is it an appointment that you don't think you can make because you're going to be tied up somewhere else? Is it a conversation you're anxious about? All of that settles in your stomach. So what you want to do is relax your stomach. Let go of the thought. Clear your mind. Relax. Go down to your knees. If your knees are bent, you want them to be relaxed. Place your feet flat on the floor so that your knees are not straining. Your knees should be relaxed. Relax. And your feet should be placed flat on the floor. Ideally, you're wearing either flat heels or no shoes. Because when you're wearing heels, you put your knees in an unnatural position, strain, and you put more weight on your toes than should be. Your toes should not be holding the weight of your entire body. So women, if you like high heels, just keep in mind that you are putting extreme pressure on your toes over time, and you will feel it over time. So alternate those heels with flat, comfortable shoes. And sometimes just take your shoes off. But relax your feet. Relax them flat on the floor. Now you want to take a deep breath in through the nostrils slowly to the count of five. Begin. Hold it. Feel your lungs. Now breathe out to the count of five through your mouth. As you breathe in, visualize you're breathing in white cleansing light. And it is going throughout all of the organs in your body as you breathe it in. See the oxygen that you breathe in your mind is cleansing white light as you breathe it in. Hold it to the count of five as you fill your lungs. breathe out through your mouth. And as you breathe out, visualize dark, smoky air. These are all the negative thoughts about yourself and others that you are breathing out of your system. All the impurities of your mind, you're breathing out. Now, again, breathe in to the count of five. Feel your lungs and visualize cleaning white light of positive, loving thoughts to yourself and others. You're breathing it in. Begin. Feel your lungs and breathe out. And as you breathe out, visualize breathing out all smoky, dark thoughts, impurities in your mind. You're breathing them out. Once again, breathe in pure positive energy. To the count of five, and breathe out to the count of five, all negative energy and thoughts. And you want to rest your hands on your knees so that your arms fall naturally in a bended position, so that your shoulders are relaxed. You want to keep your body relaxed. And once again, breathe in. And hold it. And breathe out. And breathe in. Hold it, and breathe out. And we start the day with this relaxation because you want to reset your body from any negativity that you may have awakened with as a result of disturbing dreams, problems from yesterday still being held over, any anxiousness that you have in your mind about the day. Mondays are always highly charged with stress because it's the beginning of a work week, and whatever issues you have with people on the job or the job itself or deadlines you know you have to meet, or just the daily routine starting all over again, you have to release it in the morning so that your energy is positive. We are energy, and we are sharing our energetic vibration with everybody we encounter. So if you are relaxed, you are bringing relaxed, positive energy with you, and it's impacting your interaction with people. If you are under stress and tension, you're bringing that nervous, stressed energy with you, and people are feeling it and responding to it. And you may be thinking people are just being rude or discourteous, but they may be, in fact, responding to the energy that you brought to them. And if you've ever had a day where everybody's smiling at you and friendly and kind, you probably were the one that brought that energy with you. And so they responded with their kindness, with their energy of relaxation and pleasantness, because they're reflecting you. You really do impact the experience experiences you have each day. You create them with your energy. And people who have negative energy, if you are exuding positive energy, they're literally repelled and they will go another way. Or they will be transformed by your positive energy. But either way, when you are positive, you are creating the environment that you experience. So it's best to start out every Monday morning with mindfulness meditation. I'm Naima Latif, filling in for our Monday morning mindfulness host, Zelda Speaks. And we're talking today about the film Woman King with Viola Davis. And we want a male perspective. Our regular monthly contributor, Lionel Abdul-Haq, is handling some personal matters today. But we've had many men who wish to express a thought about the image of a woman king. How does it make you feel as a man? And is this message empowering for women? If you have daughters, how does this image affect them? Is it a positive thing to see a powerful woman warrior triumph over her enemies? So we'll be right back to take your calls. And if you're on our switchboard and you've pressed one, stay tuned. We'll be with you in just a moment. 314-677, you're up next. Hang on. We'll be right back after this break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back after these messages. So stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
YouTube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are
are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And we are certainly grateful that you are joining us on this Monday morning mindfulness session as we take a look at the film Woman King. So let's go to our phone lines and get some of your thoughts. And 312-677 Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience, and give us your thoughts. Have you seen the film yet, Woman King?
Well, good morning, Naima. And I can tell you don't have your glasses on today either. You called me 312.
Say 312. 314. I saw it, but my lips said one thing, but my eyes did tell me it was 314.
You did. Well, you know, as we get a little bit older, our minds run away from our lips. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
But then,
so my mind's been gone, but, you know. Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it. And you know, people have a right to make movies. Companies have a right to make movies however they want. And you know, I'm under the pretension that if you're going to make a movie on that accord, you should have used some people as actors from that environment. Because if you use American actors, they're much, I guess you can say, fatter. And, of course, it depends on who you're showing the audience to. And there's a lot of the things in the movie that wasn't portrayed in the correct fashion, from what I know. And, but, you know, it gets over a point of trying to build self-esteem. It didn't show all the aspects. You know, when you have women warriors, you know, when a tribe was being attacked by another tribe, and I guess they tried to center this in on whites attacking the homies. Actually, the biggest enemy of the homies was Nigeria. And one of the first things that they do, the same way we've seen here with air raid shelters, they usher the women and children off to the forest so that they don't end up being captives and spoils of the war. And when all the fighting was done, they came out the forest to see who was left. And if you was not victorious, all your men were dead.
That's a rough, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And then you're talking about the kingdom. If the chief, who usually is still living, for him to form his protection of what's left, he used women, and especially women slaves that he had captured from other exploits and expansion actions that have been going on. Because just like any other ethnic group, especially when you have a king like that, their ideology is being king of the world, just like Gaddafi. So they would have been warring with other groups like the Zulu, who warred all the way over to Zambia and was stopped by the Bemba. So,
yes. Well, you brought up a point. Let's talk about one point that you brought up, which, first of all, for the sake of accuracy, hiring actors from that area. And this comes up anytime you hire someone from somewhere else that's portraying something historic. Now, of course, when they made the movie Shaka Zulu, we saw many African actors, you know, lead person playing Shaka, Henry Sele, of course, you know, African. And so that might be an issue for any actress who may have wanted that role. But here it says about this film, and I'm just going to, it's a very powerful image that they've given. Viola Davis, she's a powerful actress. So it says here, The Woman King, starring Viola Davis, boasts a 94% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is one of the movie review platforms. But it says, the Viola Davis-led action epic, The Woman King, easily conquered the North American box office in its first weekend in theaters against a crowded market of new releases. The film, directed by Gina Prince Bythe Woods, surpassed expectations and earned $19 million in ticket sales, according to estimates from Sony on Sunday. The Woman King was released by Sony and TriStar in 3,765 locations and carried the reported production budget of $50 million, which was co-financed by E1. The film, about the Agoji, the all-female army of the Kingdom of Dahomey in West Africa in the 1800s, got glowing reviews after its debut in the Toronto Film Festival. And the theatrical audiences seemed just as enthusiastic, giving it a rare A-plus cinema score, suggesting that word of the mouth will be strong in the coming weeks. So this response shows that financially it was a success. Now, would it have been the same level of success if it had been led by a unknown African actress in the lead role as opposed to Oscar-winning actress Viola Davis? What do you think?
Well, you could have had the lead role, but the supporting characters, other actors, I guess that's the proper term, they should have been, my perspective, should have hired people there from Atlanta, like you've seen in other movies. You know, when they showed they showed movies in Egypt, they didn't hire the Egyptians that were there on the land in the scenery. Same thing with Indian. Genghis Khan, they had Mongolians that were soldiers. But then, too, you got another thing. A key word you meet was kingdom. The king had slaves, women, as his warriors that he had captured in war with other tribes. And it only makes common sense because no one would put their own wives and daughters into an army. Even here in the United States, there was a lot of pushback on drafting women into their military to do combat. And their heads would have been shaved more likely so that they could tell who they are. If they escape and try to get out into the rest of the village amongst the market, and so they would have been easily identified. So there's a lot of things that they don't show, but that's what happens in plagiarization. You use the names and the events are real people, but you still don't show the things the way it actually have and with the purpose and intent. But other than that, you talk about the audience. Well, the audience is looking for something exciting and somewhat inspiring. That's what it does. That's what you get. I would imagine the audience was mostly black.
Oh, and, well, not necessarily. I mean, we assume that, but, you know, I just read off all of the theaters where the film was shown, and that those areas were not all black areas, you know. So we're talking about a place where it may have been many places where it may have been predominantly white audiences, and still the movie itself was number one in terms of the audience attendance. So one thing.
Yeah,
that,
it would be, it would spur the curiosity of people. Then too, when you don't have the history, world history being looked at and taught and studied by young people, they just don't know. You know, you've seen individuals out in the public asking people of the crowd what countries border the United States, and some of them say Canada, and the other one they would say Africa, believe it or not. So you're dealing with a population that's just not astute and ignorant to a lot of things. And that's just
well, that's
the way it is,
Nigel. Well, you know, that's another thing. When you don't know history, then it's easy for a filmmaker to come along and kind of fabricate some things, because who's going to challenge it if it's not something that's widely known? But,
yeah, and you know another thing, too, they was using rifles. Where did they get those rifles from?
Well,
in real life.
I mean,
and how did they pay for them? They paid for
them with
selling slaves.
And, well, let's take a look at that, because that's also another issue that many African Americans are not conscious of when they are angry about slavery and looking at it as a European-led institution, when in fact this was happening as a part of the warfare going on between nations, and prisoners of war were being taken and enslaved. And so all those nations did is just expand the market in order to get the guns that they wanted to be able to have superior weaponry. I mean, what are we trading weapons for now these days? And a lot of people, you know, we had drugs for weapons with the Ollie North situation and all that. That's a whole nother story. But back then it was trading slaves for weapons. So if you are in a nation that has been conquered, your people have been enslaved. And I had an African brother, you know, kind of break it down. But look, we enslaved the weaker tribes. You know, that was his point of view. So, you know, we black people, I have white folks bad, black folks good. You know, they enslaved us. No, they just bought the ones that were already enslaved.
Yeah,
and
you're right. And you know, another thing that's left out of that narrative, you're talking about what? Human beings. Human beings have done things of that nature all over the place. You know, in Ghana, there was about 5-6 different types of slaves. Everything from the agriculture worker, those that worked in administration. You had like we see here, you had those that were put in the armies, the warriors. You had pawns. You know, if I owed you for 2 cows and I didn't have them, or I would give you my son where he can work in your field, that would be pawning, P-A-W-N, just like the pawn shop. And when I get the money, I come back and pay you off and come back, you give me my son back. So that's just the culture of those societies and the things that went on. You know, it should be a good film for Mama D. Now she can go after others for reparations.
Yeah, go after some of these African nations for reparations. Well, you know, that's actually a discussion that I had with an African king during his visit here recently, when they were presenting Reverend Jesse Jackson with an honorary, you know, kingship. because of his work across the world. And we did an interview, and, you know, we'll be, matter of fact, sending that out this week on our news channel on air. And the...
Now, you know what, I would like to see if there was going to be some fiction. I would like to see something on the lines of Star Trek. Star Wars, where
some,
you
some
have
futuristic things,
futuristic things where you would have black scientists, a black method living. What's the houses gonna be in? What does a black family look like?
Yeah, well, you know that in a sense, that's kind of what the Wakanda image was in the movie Black Panther. It was very futuristic, and then you saw the family, you saw the conflict in the family and all of that. But I think when we look at the history of what our families have gone through and the fact that you had families that, you know, developed into tribes, and then you have separations of people into tribes, and then you have warring tribes and all of that. And the king that I spoke to, he said, we really need to apologize to the African Americans. And he extended an apology while he was here because he said, we for our part in the slave trade, you know, acknowledging that it was something that was used as a way to get income. And so if we're going to look at
liberation,
you had to
get income to pay your war debts. Yeah. You had to get income if the people who warred against you could not pay for the damages that you done, then you took the captives and you exchanged the captives for resources so that you could pay for the huts that was burnt, the cattle that was killed and stole, and loss of life.
Right. So we need to know the history of slavery and its connection to warfare and the present day similar thing happening.
I think that you should teach your children. Now this is what I can only make reference what I do, and I try to teach mine and show them how new innovations is going to affect your life, especially with technology, artificial intelligence, how they're making artificial intelligence now, where it can pretty much think almost like a human being can. And the question is this a dangerous approach that we're now taking? Or will it be just another innovation with intuitive? You know, when you can make machines that can use intuitiveness, one would have to raise an eyebrow and say, how far and where are we going with this?
Well, that is something that we should be prepared to look at, because if our children are not on the cutting edge of technology, then that very artificial intelligence could be, and we've had a lot of movies that show this, you know, with AI and a lot of these other movies, creating machines that could actually be detrimental and hostile. So you have to have people with the right mindset to how we're going to use technology. Well, we got another call we're going to bring into the conversation. Hold on. We'll keep you on as well. And, you know, you brought up a point about the American actors, because all of this is about finance. And the movie, it's a financial hit. The actors definitely made money. Should there have been more African-born actors in these roles to spend some of that money, you know, on the continent where it's about? Because, you know, who's getting paid when we make this money? Now, one thing I wanted to mention, I believe back in 1990-something, I mean, around maybe 96, 97, I did a voiceover for an audio book on the life of Queen Nzinga. And, you know, using my training as an actress, because I actually took theater in college, and you learned how to acquire the accents of the people that you're portraying. I portrayed the voice of Queen Nzinga. Had the, you know, she was queen of the area, which is now known as Angola, and as a matter of fact, Nzinga Mbande was queen of the Mbundo kingdoms of Ndongo from 1624 to 1663, and Matamba from 1631 to 1663, located in present-day northern Angola. So when I did this voice, I spoke like an African, and I did the accent, and, you know, I studied all that. And so that the voice came across, possibly somebody who was South African may have, you know, saw some errors in the inflection. But for people who didn't know, they're like, oh, yeah, this sounds like an African woman. You know, again, we don't know the different dialects from place to place because we don't know. We're American. We don't know anything. But, again, you know, the person who produced that audiobook series on various, you know, heroes in African and American history, you know, they could have maybe researched and found somebody from the continent, but, no, they paid me, and I was happy with that. So when it comes to the finances and we make films about Africa and these films gross a lot of money, is it fair to have African-American cast members making the large portion of the income? And financially, how much did those people from the area where the film is portrayed to have happened, how much did they benefit financially?
You know who made the money? The leaders, as usual. By the way, did they pay you in cowrie shell? Because cowrie shells was the medium at that time, even in the woman king. So they wouldn't have cowrie shells adorning their clothes because they were valuable. You wouldn't have a $20 bill pinned to your dress and your pants because you'd be scared to lose it.
Yeah, like this one's about to snatch your clothes off. That's a good point. Well, let me bring on area code 773-436. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thought about the movie The Woman King with Viola Davis. Go right ahead.
Well, hallelujah, greetings, Global Transformers, Wayo and Yah Shalom. I don't know if I'm going to be able to tell you the three things that I wanted to talk about in, 2 minutes before the break comes
up? That's all right. You know, we'll continue on after the break. So you can get started.
Okay.
And then we'll continue on afterwards.
All right. So there was three things that showed up to me, that stood out to me. First, I thought that the acting was superb, and I'm glad that they chose Viola Davis, a Negro black woman, to play the lead, although the role of the king was played by an immigrant black, because recently Hollywood has been making it a point to give Negro black heroes such as Harriet Tubman and Fred Hampton Jr., give those parts to immigrant blacks. Even though they are talking about Harriet Tubman was a Negro black hero in She-Ra, you know? So they have been doing that recently, and that's unfortunate. So I think that they didn't use a white woman like they did Elizabeth Taylor to play Cleopatra. So at least I think they was trying to be historically accurate. But the second, and Viola, I think all of the acting was superb. And boy, her body was really conditioned and trained. Wow. I mean, woo. I don't know what machines or what gym she had been working out in, but it was working.
Yes. Well, Mama D, hold that thought right there. We're going to take a quick break and come right back to you after the break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. And if you're watching on Facebook Live on The Female Solution, simply write in your comments, and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we will be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
What happens when a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death? Slavery, the African-American psychic trauma. What happened to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African Americans suffering from psychic trauma because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. And get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African American Psychic Trauma.
Live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant. Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show, and you're watching on the Female Solution on Facebook and YouTube, and you're listening to the Female Solution on Blog Talk Radio, and we are certainly excited to be reviewing the movie The Woman King, starring Viola Davis, and we've got some historians on the line that are giving their perspective, and certainly we've got our own Mama D, who's seen the film and was impressed. And Mama D, you gave us 2 points. First one, of course, superb acting by Viola Davis, who, you know, Oscar winner and definitely a movie draw, and she proved her box office value this weekend. And now that second point, repeat that again.
Well, the second point was I was impressed by the unity of the women soldiers. When Viola Davis decided to defy the king and not become his queen, but to go and save her daughter, who she didn't know she had, because one of the requirements, one of the sacrifices in order to be a woman soldier was that you had to give up motherhood and you had to give up the idea of being somebody's wife. So when she decided to defy the king, it was that was death. You couldn't do that to a king and refuse to be his queen. So, but she defied the king as an individual. But then when you looked around, all of the women soldiers on their own had joined her.
Woo!
And that was a powerful moment of unity, because she took off all by herself to save her daughter that she didn't even know she had. And I thought that, I won't give it away, but I thought the clever way that she found out that this young woman was her daughter was something to be seen. I'm not telling that, but that was a powerful thing within itself, how she knew that that was her daughter. But the third thing was I was very concerned that the movie might receive the color of purple treatment from men, or the Me Too treatment from women that the movie Nat Turner received. For those that don't remember, the historic value of the movie Nat Turner was missed because the Me Too women decided that because he had been acquitted of the actor who wrote, directed, and starred in the movie, because he had been acquitted of rape, they decided to use his real-life experience, and we missed the whole historic value of the movie Nat Turner. So one of the things I'm hoping will happen is that this movie, The Woman King, will rekindle the movie of Nat Turner, and it will finally get a fair hearing, and we can get the historic value of who Nat Turner was instead of being overshadowed by this Me Too movie that punished him and made us miss the historic value of what the movie was about. So,
that's a good point, Mama D. You know, and I remember that now that happened. There was a lot of anger around the filmmaker, and it overshadowed the historical significance of the film, because women were angry at a real-life thing instead of looking at the portrayal of the real-life history that we needed to be talking about.
Yeah.
So that is the point.
It's a lot of portrayal because
Right, so I'm hoping that this movie will start a reshowing of the movie Nat Turner so that we can get the historic value. And the other thing was that when you consider what we have, people always are focusing in on black sold their own people. Who told folks to come from across the Atlantic Ocean to buy some people? Who told you it was okay to buy people as if they was groceries and you're going to say, well, they sold you. You can't sell nobody if somebody doesn't come across the Atlantic Ocean to buy some folk. What made you think it was okay to buy some folk even if they was being sold?
Yeah, but Mama D, what do you think about what Bianchi said about the fact that this trade was going on before white folks got there, and it all stemmed from all this infighting, these wars, and the whites just came with an opportunity to get better weapons because what the kings and queens that we love so much ended up doing was selling off people for weapons so that they could win the wars. So that, I mean, that was an economic decision made by Africa.
And not only that, right, and not only was that an economical decision, but it was the woman, when she was a soldier, she said, hey, we can sell oil. We got some other stuff that we can sell to make money that we don't have to sell our own people, because eventually they're going to be buying all of us, and which they did. They didn't ask about your pedigree. Are you a king's son or daughter? If they could get a rope around your neck, you went just like everybody else went. But I think that it's important to have a yin and a yang. And when she was a soldier, she had her own right. But once she got the king decided to demote her and say, oh boy, I'm calling you to be my queen, when she was already in her own right, I thought that was a very interesting point that was made. But in conclusion, I want the movie to have high ratings. I intend to see it at least two more times and to bring somebody with me, because I think it's important that at this point in time in our development, when they are throwing away human rights for black people, like in Dixmoor, Illinois, where people don't have water to drink, the governor has made it a disaster, has provided disaster relief for these sanctuary settlers that have invaded our country. So I think at this point in time, the message of unity and the message of resistance, we need to be fighting back, and is very needed. And this movie, The Woman King, brings out many of those points that I think we can use in our struggle today and our demand for reparations.
Well, you know, Mama D,
Can I say something?
Yeah, how do you respond to that? Because, you know, she brought out some points, but also I'm looking at some subtle things that might have been picked up and men might respond to, such as the subtle suggestion that you're more powerful in your own right without this man, and getting married makes you weak. Bianchi, do you see that as maybe a subliminal message to women to discard the men? I'm sure there's going to be some men who perceive that.
Well, yeah,
you
had that feminism. You had that feminism going
on.
What
they did was the sacrifice that they made up front. And the whole notion that if you want to keep a person in chains, just simply convince them that they were meant to be there. So that was a psychological message that I think that we could zero in on. But at the end of the day, you couldn't be a soldier with a baby on your hip and you're out there trying to cut people's necks off with a sword. So that was a conscious sacrifice that was made. And I think that that was on time. They don't allow you to go into the Army, Air Force, Navy, or Marine with your children on your back.
No, they do not.
Out there breastfeeding on the battlefield. It ain't been going on. So that was a sacrifice that they made.
That would have been a misgroupment because those women's warriors belong to the king. And even in society today, the child and the wife is the property of the husband. So if they wasn't going to portray that in no movie that was made for American audience. No, you made another statement, too, about Elizabeth Taylor. Elizabeth Taylor would have been appropriate for playing Cleopatra VII because she was a Persian, which is present-day Iran.
Well, that is if you don't buy the fact that the black people are the parents of civilization. And we don't want to, like the richest man who ever lived, what was it, Mansa Musa or something like that. Okay, you know, we just got to get off of this notion that because Christianity is misinterpreted, it says male and female created he them and called them man. They refuse to read that. It's right there in the Black History Bible book, and it is in Genesis 1:26, and they skip over it all the time. Just act like it's not there. Male and female. Reverend James Bevel had it correct when he said there was a man that was male and that was a man that was female with a womb. And that goes in with the Muslim philosophy also, that you got man with a womb and man without a womb. And we refuse to acknowledge the historic biblical saying that's right there that says male and female created he them and he blessed them and he gave them dominion over the earth and told them to be fruitful and multiply, because you need the man to create another human being. And until we just go back and read what is there in black and white, we are still going to be in this so-called battle of the sexes, and when there should be no battle. And your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. It's part of the curse. But where the spirit of Christ is, there is liberty. Read that and concentrate on that.
Well, you know, religion comes out of cultures, Mama D. It wouldn't become a religion if it wasn't going on in real life. That's just the way it is. No one dreams of things. You couldn't draw a picture of a hippopotamus if you never saw one. So there are real life actions that was going on in those cultures, in which people of other ethnic groups had a right to do.
Well, if you can exchange mighty men like Samson into a mighty mouse like Mickey, then you can do a lot of things when it's only make-believe. But if we get into reality, it's another subject.
Hold that thought for a second. Let me ask this question, because Bianchi brought up a thing about ownership and what the concept was, the concept being that the women warriors were owned by the king. Well, I would have to say, wouldn't the same be for male warriors? Just like in a real sense, if you join the military here in the United States, you are really the property of the government or the president, you know, because the president as commander-in-chief can command you to go and kill and punish you if you don't. So it's the same thing.
They can demand you take injections. They can demand you to take injections and shots, too.
Yes. So
that's a whole different thing. If you want to go into chest feeding instead of breastfeeding, when milk comes from a breast, it does not come from a chest. And everybody's got a rectum. And whatever you do with yours, it's your business. But at the end of the day, you're going to use it for its natural purpose, just like you might want to see out of your ears. But your eyes are located above your nose in the front of your face. So it ain't about what you want. It is what it is, and you can't un-is it. A rectum is for waste going out, and if you got a mouth for food going in, you're going to use it for its natural purpose, and whatever you want to put in is your business, but you're going to recognize the natural purpose of whatever else you're doing is unnatural, and that is not gay bashing, that is truth telling.
So Mama D,
you know, I want to ask you another.
Well, let me ask this question.
I want to answer another question, too, before she goes.
Yeah, after this, you all can answer both of these questions, and if you think about it, because I'm sure somebody's going to make this point. Now that we have this intense conversation going on about transgenders and women men who were born women getting the sex change and being able to compete with women and all, I mean, we're having a lot of conversations about that. Men who were born as women getting the sex change and then either entering sports or just entering the bathroom. A lot of conversation about that. And so now this movie comes out with a very, as you pointed out, Mama D, very well-toned Viola Davis, you know, very athletically fit Viola Davis, fierce warrior, king. And the showing is, well, you know, women have the capacity to be quite aggressive. And so what's the difference, you know, based on the fact that if you get your body in shape, you can be just as powerful as a man. So why are we making a big deal if someone changes their genitalia? You know, this is really not that big a difference if you work out.
No. Having a fit body as a woman is not changing your biological status as a man. We are made differently. And the fact that they can change the language from pregnant woman to a pregnant person, if you got a menstrual cycle, you're a woman. Whatever they cut off your breast and tell you you are by definition of governmental law, you are now a man. No, you're on a menstrual cycle. And you are still a woman. I don't care what you're trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. So you can't be what you are because others want to be what they are not. It's ridiculous. This world is turned upside down and it needs to be turned right side up again. Because what we are doing is spiritually incorrect. God put you in the wrong body. Well, take that up with God. Government ain't got nothing to do with that. And these laws are ridiculous.
Well, hold that thought, Mama D, and I'll bring you and Pianki back on. And Pianki, you'll be able to ask your question in just a moment. I want to bring in Deborah, who has also seen the movie and has an opinion. Grand Rising, thank you for joining us on the Female Solution Monday Morning Mindfulness.
Grand Rising, thank you for having me, and thank you for all the other attendees. Appreciate much. Yes, I saw the movie. First time in a theater in a couple of years. Even before they had shut the theaters down, I had cut back on going to the movie theater. I'm kind of shifted to live theater. But I wanted to see this. I wanted to get back. I wanted to get in the mindset of what this event was going to be. And I wanted to see it on the big screen. Now, I know eventually I'll be able to see it at home, and my screen is, you know, smaller, and I don't have all the special effects that the movie theaters have. My seat got to moving around and vibrating, and the noise factor was kind of loud, but it was an enjoyable event. Nevertheless, whatever I get into, I think I'm going to find some positivity in it. This movie was good. You know, I enjoyed it. It is a keeper. So, and me saying that, it would be one of those that I'll eventually have in my library. It was, you know, not, let's see, how can I say it? Not as explosive as I was looking for, but it was a story. It was a storyline, and it brought to the forefront some information that I've known but other people were not aware of, such as the slave trade and how other nations were involved in that slave trade. As far as I just came in a little bit at the end of this conversation where it sounds like you were kind of weighing the difference in a man and a woman. I think about it, a woman has to, even though she's a woman, she is made differently. She is a helpmate to the man. But women, we have to fight as well, even if we are in a relationship with a man. And when I'm saying fight, I'm not necessarily saying physically. You have to mentally be prepared for that as well. For the fight. Please forgive me. I am.
I know you're phones. Juggling phones and taking care of business this morning. But now, Deborah, let me ask you this question. Do you think there was a subtle suggestion that a woman is weakened by marriage to a man as opposed to her standing single and strong in her own right? Was there a subtle message of that, you know, men might perceive, well, they're trying to dismiss us and say we're, you know, it's a woman's better to not be married, especially because we've got these issues in our community with, you know, broken families, the preponderance of single-parent, female-headed households, the subliminal message that, you know, a man isn't necessary. Would you say that could have been a message someone could take away, or it was just a historical reality? But how did you
No, I didn't see where a man was not necessary. The men were in this program. The men, there was a king. There was other men in the movie that were some romantic inclinations with it. But I didn't see it as a sexist movie. I saw it as a movie of people who were living their lives, and some folks had to, because of their gender, it wasn't because of their gender, it was because of their choice that they took on this role. And they weren't the only soldiers of this nation. They were just this type of troop. You know, you have, for the United States, you have the Navy and you have the Army. You have the different levels in the Navy and different levels in the Army. So it was not that this was the only fighting force of this nation. Matter of fact, the men actually were instrumental in some of the fighting. Some of the situations that they encountered as far as the protection. So, no, I didn't look at it as a sexist thing. You know, we have to, that's a whole different program, the sexist situation. All I saw it was there were these women who chose for various reasons to become a part of this elite fighting team, and in most cases,
like the Navy
now,
SEAL, you know,
a small tone of they were a celibate. They were not to position themselves to have children or to have a man or whatnot. But that was even overwritten throughout the movie, and when you see it, you'll understand situations happen, and you don't get put out because of various things. But it was just a choice of these young girls. Most of them were young girls when they started out, that they did not want to be in that situation. And I believe that if they wanted to come out of it, if they changed their mind at some point, they could relinquish their role or their title in that particular division and start a family or, you know, be with a man. But you could not do both. And the structuring of what they had to go through and what they had, what they believed in and what their purpose in life was, did not allow a room for romantic inclination and having children, you know, and rearing children. So
That's interesting.
That was,
well, we're going to take our last. Yes, and you know, that's interesting, and we look at today's military, there are a lot of similarities. It's a very destructive job if you have a family, and your job is to defend the nation through war. You really can't be having babies. So I know a lot of women that have military careers and have children. Well, there's some issues, but we're going to talk about this.
It's not as extreme as this was depicted as. This was a little bit more extreme. I mean, your whole life was wrapped around training and fierce training and meditation. And even when you socialized, even when you partied or danced, you partied with the people in your troop, the people part of your
lifestyle. Wow, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to talk more about that when we come back, and I'll open up the mics again for Mama D and Pianki to express some more thoughts about maybe some of the subtle meanings of this movie, as well as what it showed about the acting talent. And what is the ultimate message we think our children are going to get who watch this film? Well, we'll be right back after this, and hold on to board. We're coming back to you all as well. And Viata on Facebook says, Grand Rising Queen. Yes, Grand Rising to you, Viata. And she says, regarding marriage, she said, I prefer spiritual partnership over traditional marriage. Don't have to relate based on man's laws. Well, you know, that's a thought, because the marriage thing is, you know, kind of about ownership, which Pianki alluded to, and giving up your power as a woman. That's been the tradition in many cultures. Once you marry, you're considered the property of your husband. So as we're hearing about this film, these women, if they are going to serve their country in this manner, then they must be dedicated to training themselves to be warriors, which means no family, no husband, no children. And maybe this film makes that idea seem attractive, because it definitely makes you powerful. What is that saying to our daughters? We'll talk about that when we come back from this break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts, and we'll be right back after this last break, so stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Are back for our last half hour, actually about 25 minutes, of the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. This is Monday Morning Mindfulness. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for our host, Zelda Speaks. And, of course, Zelda is returning from honoring a lifelong friend and a celebration of life. So we, again, extend our heartfelt love to the family of her dear friend Deborah, and we certainly do appreciate all the work she does every Monday morning. So I'm filling in here, and we are talking about The Woman King, starring Viola Davis. And, you know, if you've seen it, we want to hear from you. We've got on our live line here Deborah Smith, our own third Saturday host, to give us her insight. She, along with Mama D, who also saw the film, is giving us some review and some insight, and our dear brother Pianki, who, as a world traveler and one who has visited the continent of Africa, is giving us a historical perspective. Was it accurately portrayed what those relationships really were, and how do we feel about slavery now that we've seen the film? So I've opened up the mics for Mama D and Pianki again. And, you know, a lot of people, didn't know about the slavery.
Like
so
Deborah
Pianki,
said,
another question.
Yeah, like she said, it was a depiction. It was a depiction. Those women would have been property of the king. It would have been acquired through previous raids in other tribes. And the heads would have been shaved. If you wanted one of those women, you would have had to buy her from the king. Now, that's just the way it was. I tell you, the nearest thing to that today in recent times would have been Gaddafi. Gaddafi considered himself king of kings, which the kings of those times wanted to be, and he kept a regiment, a sort of a regiment, of female secret service around him. So that's how it was. Now, you may mention the Mansa Musa and king and queen Nzinga. Both of those acquired their wealth, especially Musa, through the sale of human beings. That's what it was back in those days. And you look at this depiction of these women warriors, they had rifles. Well, the only way they would have acquired the money to buy rifles, they would have had to sell off slaves, because Portugal was not taking cowrie shells. Cowrie shells was not worth anything for them. But as far as trying to get a message across in a American audience, well, that stands to be seen. Oh, by another thing, too. You see the color on the actor's skin? Well, have you ever went to a bodybuilding contest and you see the bodybuilders all shiny and all of them look dark, even if they're white? Well, that's that the new oil that they use, like they use in bodybuilding, to make everyone appear to be dark in what they really was and also shiny.
So that, I guess that image is what Viola Davis had. You know, she was, you know, body was fit, you know, shiny and all of that. So, I mean, visually, I would say that would probably a good depiction of what those women warriors look like, very physically fit. But now, you brought up
They wouldn't have been that fit because you can see photographs of women. No way in the world it would have been that thick, because that's from American diet that we always hear people complain about. That's what you get.
That's an interesting thought. So they'd have been much slimmer. That's an interesting thought. Yeah. Violet,
but they had an African diet. But
yeah.
their diet was an African diet. They didn't have an American diet. Now, if you decide that you want to, as an individual, you have a personal goal. But these women soldiers, they chose goals to benefit their people. And they sacrificed their normal life as a woman to do that, which was a courageous thing, but they understood that up front. They took that oath freely before they got involved. So they knew what was happening. But I heard somebody say that these were the women that did nobody want because they was dark-skinned, because they was homely-looking, and they were the rejects of society in the first place. I heard that, so I want to examine that the second time that I see the movie. But what surprised me was how these mixed race men could, like the one that had the homie queen, that had the homie mother, and went back there to find his people. They was walking around like white men. That really shocked me. How did you feel about that?
Let me ask you this question. As you saw the film, you know, there are a number of issues raised, you know, some ethical issues. And how did you see that as comparing to today's women who choose to go into the military? Some of them even have families. And they choose, maybe because of the financial benefits, educational benefits, they choose that rigorous training. Remember that movie, G.I. Jane, where she shaved her head? And they choose this career and learn how. I mean, look at Tammy Duckworth, Senator Tammy Duckworth, injured in war, amputated, you know, injured in battle. And she has a family, you know, husband, everything. So what's the difference, or is there a difference, in terms of the commitment of women today in the military, willing to go into combat, do training and everything to be fit, and go and kill at the command of the commander-in-chief, who's the head of the nation? Is there any difference between women in the military today and women in the military in this movie, according to what you saw? What do you think, Deborah?
Yes, yes, it's a difference. Difference. The women, again, the women that was depicted in this movie, they chose to go into this battle, and it was not something as versatile as the service of today. Now, I'm an Army brat, so I know a little bit about what goes on, just a little bit. I'm not in the Army. I never served any time. I had children that served time, but I did not. But the degree of involvement that was depicted in this movie does not compare to what the flexibility that folks have when they're serving in the service. The only time it is strenuous and as far as the fight is when folks are stationed in a war zone. But
mm-hmm.
being in the Army or being in a military service, you don't have the same degree as these women did in this movie. I mean, the physical training that they endured every day, even when they were not in war, and they were in war to protect their families, in their land, their villages. They weren't in war in some of the wars that we get involved in. it's totally different. And to the degree of answering the question, these were women who were not wanted by other men. Oh, no, 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 no. These women, for various reasons, chose to get involved. Now, they were not some of the prettiest as far as in this movie, but who is pretty? The beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You
right.
know, and matter of fact, one of the stars of the show, she chose to go into this regiment because that's what she wanted.
It was a position of honor to marry somebody.
And she's like, oh, no, 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 your choice is, of course, they arranged marriages. But well, she said, no, 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 I'd rather do this. And that's what she chose to do. Now, yes, these were people that had a king, and you had to obey the king. You were, I don't know how they came as far as ownership. I don't know how that was not really developed in this movie, and I hope this movie continues, this message continues, but it tweaked the interest in, I hope, some folks to understand how the slave trade was going on, how it began, how it was involved, and how other folks, it wasn't just the English that was involved in the slave trade. And, yes, there were some men that were mulatto. There was this one mulatto man that was part of this movie. He had a purpose. And I don't want to go into it because it's part of the movie. Go see the movie.
Yeah.
You know, let's support our actors and actresses. You know, you pay cable bill, you go and you do other things. So support this movie. But see it and see for yourself how you feel and what you say, oh, I didn't know that. Let me look further into that. If you have a strong enough mind to be curious about situations.
Well, let me ask you before we – well, let me ask all of you – well, Pianki, you haven't seen it, but I know you have an opinion about it because you're aware of what was happening in that – during that period of time. Now, for Deborah and Mama D, after seeing the movie, did it change your opinion about who was responsible for slavery? Did it change your historical view of it after seeing this movie?
Not for me, it did not change my view because I already knew a little bit about that. But if it was for someone who has no idea, they just have one sight and figured the white man went over and got the black man, it would, I hope, enhance their capacity to think about what really went on.
Well, you know what? What I think is we seem to zero in on the fact that black people sold other black people into slavery. Look, there was Roman slavery. They had Egyptian slavery. So it's not like black people invented slavery. These people came across the Atlantic Ocean, and they didn't set up a Chase bank account and write out there's a whole bunch of stuff that you have to realize that I never saw a white man before. I never spoke his language. He didn't speak my language. So all of this is just whitewashed over. And when you dig a little deeper, then you comprehend these things. But slavery, selling off the slavery concept was totally different. It was not to make you a non-human being, movable property thing. If I conquered your group, then you became eventually part of my family. If you conquered me, eventually I became a part of your family. So this is what happens in the spoils of war. But for these people to come across the Atlantic Ocean to talk about black souls from white people, I mean, do you really think they put up a for sale sign and say, y'all come from across the Atlantic Ocean, we got slaves for sale? It didn't happen. So what are you doing over there?
Let me say this, Mama D, and you try to change the narrative. You know, they were selling... They were selling their people to the east before they started to the west. And being that Africa is the cradle of civilization. Let me finish.
Okay.
Please. Being that Africa is the cradle of civilization, yes, they did teach the rest of the world forms of slavery. And you know, when that Benin king died, they killed 1,000 slaves to go along with him into the afterlife. There's pictures of Benin kings and coffins and skeletons around him when they're dug up. So that's just the way human beings performed back in those times. I mean, you can't go back to the people.
They own people, whether it was in China, whether it was in
yeah, but we're talking
Europe.
About
everybody
we're talking
says,
about
they
the women
own
kings.
People.
We're talking about women kings and the Dahomeans.
Why do you have to argue
all the time? You put a bad example for kids that's listening and everything else. Now listen.
No, that's not fair, Pianki. That's not fair.
That is your opinion. That is your opinion. That
it's
is not
my opinion.
Fact.
It's history.
Facts cannot change. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. That
listen.
Is your opinion.
Their
what I'm
enemies were Nigerians.
Chinese people sold Chinese people into slavery. White people sold Roman white people into
Nobody
slavery.
Nobody didn't say
everybody
that happened. We said they were human
people.
Yeah,
everybody sold their own people. Everybody did it. It wasn't like it was limited to black people sold their own people. Everybody sold their own kind. That's all I'm saying, and that's a fact.
That is true. Well, hold that thought, because, I mean, it's a human issue. It just got to an ugly expression when it came to what happened in American slavery, because they wanted to systematize it and make people be permanent slaves as opposed to temporary slaves that come from prisoners of war. So, I mean, you both are correct in a sense, but I'm going to open the mic for another person to add to this conversation. Area code 706202. We got a few minutes. We're not doing the after show today, y'all. So we're going to try to squeeze in everybody's comments within the time. So go right ahead, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience, and give us your thoughts.
Yes. Good evening. Assalamu alaikum, and good evening to the audience. I mean, good afternoon, good grand rising. Anyway, I'm still kind of half asleep listening to this, but it has awakened me because,
that's
you know,
good.
it lets me see how a film can give so many different views to the essence of what we call the slave trade. And in essence, slavery still goes on right now, this moment. Because the three things that caused that slavery is still in our community and is still captives, making captives of our men and women. That was rum or liquor, because we have more liquor stores in our community. Number two is guns. Number three is cloth. We're going to wear all type of designer clothes and things. And you gave an essence of that young mulatto in European dress, no longer wearing his native attire. So what we're seeing is that they're letting us know, number one, that the men had been so captive in that land that the women had to begin to be the warrior. And so we look at our community. Our men are being captive because the majority of black men that either are incarcerated or on drugs, or they have chosen to change their gender mind. So the thing that we're looking at is that the depletion of men has to be taken over by the woman. And the women became, because women have two jobs, they become queens or kingmakers. And so if there was no one to become king, she had to step in the same way that our women are stepping in our community today. You're fighting battles with intellect today, those weapons of old. I haven't seen the movie, but for just listening to it, but my study, in essence, and you're correct, there were six other slave trades before the Atlantic slave trade. So what we're looking at, there was not slavery, not chattel, as what was given here in the Turtle Island. Chattel slavery was different from being a captive of war, because when you became, if you remember the movie Shaka Zulu, Shaka conquered every group that he conquered. They became a part of the Zulu nation. That was to give them power against the invaders that were coming in. That's what he saw to protect. Debbie Allen went and got Steven Spielberg to make what? Amistad, to show you that the ones that fought and got free and was trying to get themselves back. And you saw that in that movie, John Adams defended the Africans because his father was the defender of the British officer that killed the first person that to die in the revolution was Christmas Addicks. So we got to understand our story and stop taking on their watered-down stories of our own history. These are the challenges that we have in being able to identify who we are and ask the question, how does that free us watching that movie?
Wow. Well, that is the question. Well, thank you, Baba Kwame, for your input in this conversation. So, Deborah, I'm going to let you have the last word on this. What message would you like children who go and see this film to come away with in terms of something that's enhancing their understanding and education and knowledge of history? What would you like them to come away with after seeing this film?
Well, I want them to know that they are powerful. They have the choice to make the decision on what they want to dedicate themselves to. And remember, it is just a movie. If any part of this movie tweaks your interest, then further educate yourself on that. Be open to what was going on. See the movie again, because we all know you see something one time, then you see it again, you miss that, and, you know, it can change your mind, and then have conversations. Maybe they can't have the conversation about this movie in the schoolroom, but you can certainly have it in your educational home with your children. Parents, take your children to see this film and give your opinion. Just get out there and explore the world. The world is larger than just your little zip code, area code, or whatnot. And it is a full educational platform. And parents, if you don't know how to, you know, get with your friends, get with other people and talk about it. Come on to the Female Solution and learn about it. You know, this program is going to be in the archives as well. But just open your mind to other possibilities other than what you are experiencing now. And whatever you put your mind to, be purposeful and do it. Stick with it. These women, these girls did not get strong overnight. This was, first they had to get it in their mind that this is what they wanted, and they had to endure some treacherous situations to get to the different status of this group of women. And just go forward. Be
joyful,
all right,
purposeful,
yes,
in whatever you do.
I like that. Well, thank you, Deborah. Something to be gained from
yes.
seeing this film.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
And we're off. See you next time.
Okay.